This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Cowboys don't cry. We've heard that expression before, breaking the silence around men's mental health. And when we talk about men's health, the conversation often focuses on physical fitness, diets, annual checkups. But one area that still doesn't get enough attention is mental health. Now, for many men, struggling with stress, anxiety, depression, burnout, grief, and even substance abuse often are hidden behind a mask of strength. Society has long encouraged men to, quote, push through, you're a man up, and keep your emotions to yourselves. Well, unfortunately, that silence can come at a devastating cost, and the reality is that men are significantly less likely to seek help for mental health challenges, yet they are far more likely to die by suicide. Many turn to unhealthy coping mechanisms, including alcohol and substance abuse, rather than speaking openly about what they're experiencing. So, what we're going to be doing today is discussing why so many men struggle in silence, how we can break that stigma around mental health, recognize the warning signs, and create spaces where men feel comfortable reaching out for support. Joining us now on the line, we welcome Teboho Ramadiro. Teboho is a substance use coordinator at the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG. Teboho, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. And afternoon to your listeners at Chai FM.
Welcome, Teboho, and great to have you on board. Okay, so men are significantly more likely to die by suicide and yet far less likely to seek professional help for mental health challenges. Now, let's start from the top. Why do so many men continue to suffer in silence?
Thank you so much for your question. So, like you have greatly highlighted, is that as men, we are socialized to believe that we must be strong, you know, and be self-reliant, you know, and be able to cope on our own. But as a result, we often view emotional struggles as something to be hidden rather than to be discussed. So a lot of men don't talk because of it seems as if it's a sign of weakness sharing, you know, your mental health status of how you are feeling. So they are a lot inclined, they are silent because of we are taught that we must man up, which in turn, it means that you must shut up. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. I've been witness to that many a time. So many men grow up hearing these phrases, as you say, man up, be strong, shut up, boys, don't cry. But the thing, how do these messages then shape the way men deal with emotional pain and vulnerability later in life?
It affects them. It shapes them. It affects their masculinity in the context of saying that, like you were saying, this starts at a very young age. If I can make an example for you, if you've got a six-year-old daughter, right, or girl, if they hurt themselves, your response will be, sorry, princess, you know, it will become all right. Let me put a bandage on it. But if it's a boy, what do we say? You're starting to become a man. So we even normalize pain. At a very young age, at the young boys. So this starts to affect them in the sense of how do they deal with challenges that they face on a day-to-day function. So then we don't see pain as a normal thing. It's seen as something of, if I raise my hand, then I'll be viewed as a sign of weakness, you know? Yeah. We don't see it as a normal human response. So this affects them, the way how we deal with challenges, how we respond to situations. If we can look in our country, you know, they always say men don't talk, for example, right? But if you can look at our prison systems, they are full of men. The gender-based violent cases that we have, who are the perpetrators? They are men. These are not silent cries. These are loud cries where men don't know how to regulate their emotions or express how they are feeling.
You know, it's a matter of interest. Let's narrow this down a bit, if I can put it that way, in terms of age differences. I mean, these remarks can be directed even at teenagers, early 20s, well, 30s, 40s. So which groups are, what have you observed, which groups in particular are vulnerable, or should I say susceptible to this kind of abuse right now? What are you seeing at SADAG?
Okay, the group that's coming out, the demographics, is the ages between 15 to 35.
Wow.
this is where it gets tricky, because of as men, we are that shows us that we are five times or four times likely to die by suicide than our female counterparts, you know. So between the ages of 15 to 35, young boys are still trying to find their identity in society, you know. Psychologically, a brain is fully developed at the age of 25 years. So you're still battling a lot of challenges. You're experimenting, as you highlighted, they start experimenting in substances, dacha, alcohol. With that happening and you trying to find your identity and unemployment challenges that we're having, those exacerbate one's mental health. So those are the demographics that we're seeing as little as 15 years old.
At this stage, what are the biggest barriers preventing men from reaching out when they are struggling?
The biggest barriers are, you know, I think confidentiality. Space, I think the narrative, societal norms, you know, these are the barriers. And again, when you look at, when we speak to the callers, a lot of them, when they reach out, one would say, if they, for example, they're in a relationship or a marriage setup, you know, you'd hear men saying that, he won't say, my wife doesn't love me. He will say, my wife doesn't respect me. So most of the bitterness is also respect. How do we respect each other? You know, how men feel less respected. They feel that their value lies in them providing, because that's the normal expectation, you know. But how does provision look like? Is it financial provision or is it emotional provision? So those are some of the barriers. Not working, you know, not being seen as part of society, as contributors.
You know, interesting. And
growing up without fathers as well.
I was saying
growing up without fathers as well. That's
indeed,
another period.
Indeed. Teboho, I'm sorry to have interrupted you there. I thought you had concluded, but I'm getting a message from one of our listeners, from Carol Z. He says, not wealth, but financial stability is very important to men. Is this a factor you've also witnessed along those lines?
Yes. A lot of, you know, when you look at the young men, that are the unemployment rate that we refer to, that is that when men don't have money or don't feel financially secured, that affects their confidence.
Indeed.
So
yeah,
that's when you find someone being irritable, you know.
Right.
You find men also turning to cry. If you could ask, maybe half of, if you get the honor of asking people who are in prison, some of the reasons why they're in prison, they will tell you that they were trying to provide for their families, or they got pressure that, you know, they had to provide for their kids. So financial security is something that I would agree with them listening.
Sure, indeed. Okay, so that's one symptom you've just outlined. But what other warning signs should family members, friends, work colleagues look out for when a man may be struggling? What should we? What are those other telltale signs that we should be aware of?
Okay. All right. The other telltale signs or symptoms is withdrawal from family and friends, increased irritability or anger, and changes in sleeping patterns. Either they sleep too much or they struggle to sleep, or increased alcohol or substance use, and also persistent feelings of hopelessness, you know. And if some men hide themselves in working too much. They avoid being at home. They are constantly working over time again.
Okay.
That is some of the signs to look out for. Yes. And taking unusual risks, endangering in risky behaviors, you know, getting into fights, talking about feeling trapped and feeling like a burden or heavy, or having no papers. So those are some of the signs. Even hygiene, when you see a man start not taking care of how they look, that's some of the signs that one could look out for.
Okay, so let's look at creating then safe spaces. Let's look at now how to remedy the situation. How can then families, workplaces, schools, communities then create environments where men feel comfortable talking openly about their mental health and being accommodated in doing so, if I can put it that way?
So as communities, we need to create spaces where men feel heard rather than judged, you know. And I can encourage families to say, they should encourage open conversations. As men, you know, you can ask from one man to another. If you ask a brother, are you okay? You'll get an obvious answer to say, I'm fine. But ask an open question. I've realized that your behavior has changed lately. Is there something that you're struggling with? You know, that is a conversation, right?
Mm.
Yeah, and having support groups where men can reach out. And as I said, we are saying we are available. Our counselors are trained to offer that safe space where there's confidentiality guaranteed to say they can reach out and connect, you know, because of when troubles come, they don't come during the day, they come at night, you know.
Sure.
Who do you speak to? So having those platforms, having safe platforms where we can connect with young boys and older men, you know, having a sense of community. Then we grew up in an era where even if you didn't have a father, there was an uncle in your community that you looked up to,
mm-hmm.
you know, having a role model that you could ask advice from. So having those role models coming, stepping forward, you know, to step up to say, I'm here to support you. I see that you're navigating life and you're struggling. So having those support groups, teaching our kids in schools, you know, about emotional literacy from a young age, you know, and even in workplaces, prioritizing employee wellness and mental health awareness, as we are doing it now, as it's Men's Mental Health Month, creating those platforms and celebrating, you know, celebrating men for a change, you know, just encouraging them, you're doing a good job, you know.
Sure.
We see you are epitomizing the role model of a good man. When you start encouraging men and acknowledging them, it also amplifies their moves and helps them to improve, mm-hmm. you know, as members of community. Yes.
As a matter of interest, Teboho, are we making progress or do we still have a very, very long way to go?
We are making progress. If you can look at 10 years before,
mm-hmm.
there were no platforms where we were talking about men's mental health, you know. Right now, we've got, you know, platforms, podcasts, and this conversation that we're having now, you know, this is saying that we are making strides. The journey is still there, but we are making strides. Previously, we didn't even have platforms where men could talk about what or express how they are feeling or having engagements around men's mental health. So we are making progress. I can attest to that.
You know, for any man listening right now who may be feeling overwhelmed, also isolated, anxious, depressed, but hasn't spoken to anyone about it yet, what do you want him to know?
I would like to say to them, it's okay not to be okay. You know, it really is. Mental health affects everyone, including us as men. They don't have to suffer in silence, and they don't have to face this life's challenges alone. You know, if you can allow me to borrow the words of Frederick Douglass when he said, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men.
Indeed, indeed. Let's just reflect on SADAG. Right, so if you can just give us a bit more information, what resources, support services are available through SADAG for men who may be struggling or in crisis?
Okay. Our resources, people can connect to us via our toll-free number mm-hmm. when they can reach out. Our service is 24 hours. They can mm-hmm. call in. We've got support groups where we can refer people to support groups that are run by men. They mm-hmm. are for men. We also have platforms where they can connect with us via WhatsApp, chatting mm-hmm. online. So these are the the things that we have at SADAG. So offering holding space. We are saying at SADAG that we cannot change, you know, the world, but we can change somebody's world in a day. You know, that goes a long way.
Teboho, as we wrap up, if we could leave listeners with one takeaway from today's conversation, what would it be?
If I could leave the listeners with one thing, is that if you are struggling, you don't have to carry the burden alone. Whatever you are facing, and reaching out is not a sign of strength.
Sure.
It's not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength.
Mm.
That's the conversation they should take out from what we are talking about right now. Mm-hmm. Strength lies in reaching out.
Teboho, it's been great having you on board, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Teboho Ramadiro, Substance Use Coordinator at the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG, where you can go to their website and find out more about what they offer in terms of depression and any other related abuse one is experiencing right now regarding mental health burnout for men.